This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. There's a new authoritative take on what happens if policy is able to fix structural racism in the workplace. Addressing wage disparities by race and unequal representation moves a lot of people into the middle class. Shelley Stewart, head of the McKinsey Institute for Black Economic Mobility, is co-author of a report called The Economic State of Black America, What Is and What Could Be. Mr. Stewart, welcome to the program.
Thank you, David, for having me.
You come at this from so many angles. I mean, what's the number here? How many people do you think could be brought into the middle class?
So our work looked at the Black experience through the lens of the different roles that we play in society. So Black Americans are workers, we're business owners, we're consumers, we're residents, and we're savers and investors. If you look at just the worker role alone, if you could close the wage disparity we identified there, you could get another 2 million Black Americans into the middle class.
2 million? I mean, just that's an astonishing number.
Yeah, no, it really is. And again, that just is scratching the surface, given the disparity that materializes across the other roles that we play in society. But yes, income and wage disparity alone would be a significant step forward for Black Americans.
Another showstopper related to the wage disparity that you've brought up here, you looked at like 500 occupations and found that a small subset of them, 20 of the 500, account for a huge amount of the wage disparity.
Yeah, that's right, David. Less than 5% of occupations account for 60% of the wage disparity. There's a couple of dynamics there. The first is this idea of progression. And a big part of that opportunity is building a funnel to get folks from frontline into manager and supervisor roles. And a few others I'd highlight are actually traditional pathways to the middle class where Black Americans are just underrepresented. So I'm talking about teachers, Black doctors, Black lawyers. Huge opportunity there for us to improve the representation. These numbers have only moved incrementally over the last 50 years in terms of representation for Black Americans.
And just finding ways to reduce disparities in people who can get access to what you need to thrive as a business. I mean, we talk about Black-owned businesses, but if you separate out Black-owned businesses where there's more than one employee, that number is still very low.
Yeah, it's an incredibly low number, which has all sorts of implications for Black Americans and Black communities. Only 2% of employer firms, so firms with at least one employee in addition to the owner, are Black-owned. And that's, again, versus something like 13% of the population. And there's a lot of things at play here, but first and foremost are significant capital challenges, both limited wealth to draw on, given the large wealth gap between Black Americans and other groups. Lower income and wages when you're a worker translates to, you know, a smaller amount of savings that you can draw from when starting a business. And then there's all sorts of challenges that Black business owners face trying to access more traditional sources of capital, like loans and equity, that have to be addressed if we're going to make a big difference here.
You also took a look at people who are served by public programs, and that could just be who gets access to good education. And the report raises an interesting issue about when we fund public schools through property taxes, that can perpetuate these disparities?
That's right, David. And we're certainly not the first firm to make this point, but there is no doubt that we have made an explicit decision about how we support public education in this country that has a tendency over time to extend and even magnify disparity. If you look at high concentrated Black schools and you compare that with schools that are higher concentration white students, you find an $1,800 per pupil per year funding gap. We can make a different set of decisions about how we're going to support our youth generally in this country and really invest in education in a way that does not magnify existing wealth or income disparity.
And get on the stick about a lot of this because it's a matter of social justice, but it's also economic development really for everyone, you calculate.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, we know that one of the greatest strengths of the U.S. economy is our talent. That talent comes in many forms. Some of it comes when we attract great folks from different parts of the world who want to come and live and work here. And I think we should, you know, continue to celebrate that. But we've also got tens of millions of Americans, many of whom are low income and many of whom are people of color, who also have outstanding potential to contribute to our economy, to our labor force. And if we're going to unlock that participation, we have to invest in educating those folks and ensuring that they have the skills to compete in the job markets of the future. And again, those folks are here and they represent a huge pool of underutilized talent that we should be tapping.
Shelley Stewart III is a partner at McKinsey and head of the McKinsey Institute for Black Economic Mobility. He's co-author of the new report, The Economic State of Black America, What Is and What Could Be. Mr. Stewart, thank you.
Thanks, David. Thanks for having me.